You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Visa isn't a credit card company. It is an innovation company that makes digital payments a reality around the world. Visa has a simple and unwavering vision to be the best way to pay and be paid for everyone everywhere. From food trucks to fantasy league dues, they want to provide you with the most secure and easy payment experience possible. All you have to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be. Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are both on pace to make the playoffs again, but neither has looked like their former MVP selves all season. Rodgers threw for a season-low 104 yards with a career-worst 3.2 yards per attempt against the Niners. And meanwhile, Brady completed a season-worst 45% of his passes on Sunday and is currently ranked 24th in completion percentage, sandwiched between Mitch Trubisky and Ryan Fitzpatrick. That is an interesting two to be between. So, Skip, who would you take right now, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady?
Is this... for real? I mean, are we actually asking
this? We are.
Whatever.
Give me Tom Brady and it ain't even close, because Tom Brady's production and performance this year has been once again underrated and over-criticized, while Aaron Rodgers, the LeBron James of the NFL, his performance this year has been way overrated and under-criticized. And, you know, it's funny because you keep telling me how much Tom Brady is in decline. No great quarterback, quote unquote, has been more in decline, steadily declining over the last 4 years than Aaron Rodgers. His QBR has dipped each of the last 4 years, including this one. His completion percentage has fallen each of the last 3 years. And now he's plummeted all the way to 18th in QBR. And
your guy's 14th.
Yeah, okay. So I think it's my turn.
Oh, my bad. You're right. You're right. My bad. I don't even know why I spoke out of turn. I apologize.
Come on, Shannon.
I'll raise my hand next.
So all I know is that with his completion percentage plunging each of the last 3 years, Aaron Rodgers has missed the playoffs each of the last 2 years. Tom Brady obviously has been to three straight Super Bowls. And he won two of those, and in the one he lost, he threw for an all-time playoff record 505 yards. But let's just stay this year. Let's stay current. Tom Brady leads the National Football League in completions right now. He's number one. And he is also number one in catchable passes. Aaron Rodgers is ninth in completions and 10th in catchable passes. Tom Brady has been doing this while throwing to an all-time record for him in his career, 17 different receivers this year, and obviously he does not have a go-to receiver. He does not have a Devontae. He doesn't even have a Jimmy Graham because he doesn't even have a Gronk anymore. So that brings me to QBR. You said it's still edged to Tom Brady. It's 14th to 8th to 19th, actually. But the point is, if Tom Brady had the disastrous QBRs that Aaron Rodgers had at Chargers 3 weeks ago and then this past Sunday night at Niners, I would never hear the end of it because they were nightmares. They're single-digit QBRs for an Aaron Rodgers who just continues to fade away. He's a myth right now. And I'm going to remind everybody, his one and only Super Bowl followed the 2010 season. We are almost to 2020. So in that period of time, Tom Brady, who obviously has 6 wins and 9 Super Bowls, has had 5 Super Bowls that he's been to, and he's won 3 of them since Aaron Rodgers' one and only Super Bowl. So I'll take him for career, obviously, but I'll take him right now because under the circumstances, given the degree of difficulty, Tom Brady at 10-1, are you kidding me?
Exactly.
He will get nothing but better, and Aaron Rodgers is getting worse.
And what you're doing is overvaluing. We're talking about Tom Brady. What you're doing is overvaluing his win-loss record because he's playing on a much better football team than what the Packers have. Now, you gave me all these stats, but completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown to interception ratio, who's better? Now, last year, Jenny, every week we come out here.
Yeah.
And Skip Bayless would tell everybody, fans at home and people at home, I want you guys to chime in too. And y'all can attest to this. Mm-hmm. Skip Bayless said Aaron Rodgers is going to shatter the throwaway record. Mm-hmm. Skip Bayless, if you don't mind me asking, who's leading the NFL currently in throwaways?
I didn't even bring it up.
I didn't bring up throwaways. I want you to bring it up now.
Yeah.
Because you brought it up last year when Aaron Rodgers led the league.
Well, no, he shattered his own record.
I want to know who's currently leading the league in throwaways.
Okay.
No, okay, ain't nobody's name.
I don't know.
You do know.
It's your turn.
No,
it's your turn. I'm not going to answer. What? If I answer, you'll say, I'm reclaiming my time.
No, I'll answer it. No, I'm going to give you the time. The floor is yours. Who's leading the league in throwaways?
Who leads the league in completions and catchable passes? Skip, help me out.
Skip, I just want you to answer my question. Mm. If you answer my question, I can answer yours.
Did you watch Aaron Rodgers on Sunday night? You gave me the floor back.
Can you defend that
performance? Can you defend Aaron Rodgers at Chargers?
Since Skip will not answer the question, it's painfully and obvious that the answer is Tom Brady.
Oh.
The very thing that you criticized. So what we're seeing, if Tom Brady doesn't see a guy wide open, he's throwing the ball away. That's what you said about Aaron Rodgers last year, Skip.
He had Devontae. He had Jimmy Graham.
Devontae without
he
5 games.
He had Valdez Scantling.
Undrafted free agent.
Okay. Tom Brady has been throwing to little Gunnar Olszewski. He's thrown to Jacoby Myers on Sunday. That was his second most targeted receiver. Jacoby Myers is an undrafted free agent rookie out of North Carolina State.
Geronimo Allison.
Are you kidding
Geronimo.
Me?
Skip.
That's... Geronimo's proven to be pretty good. He can get behind people.
Skip.
Who's got the better receiver core? Help me out. Right here, right now.
Skip.
Tom Brady is doing it with mirrors.
He was throwing to 2 undrafted free agents and a 5th-round draft pick, which is the equivalent of what Tom Brady's throwing to because when Devontae Adams was out, he didn't have that number one. You know that. I know that. But see.
But he's back.
The thing that
Tom Brady has not had a Devontae.
He just got Julian Edelman, who just happened to be Super Bowl MVP. Oh.
And who else? Help me out.
That's somebody.
Who would you rather have, Devontae or Julian?
No.
You tell me Julian shouldn't even be in the Hall of Fame conversation.
We're not talking about the Hall of Fame. We're talking about Julian Edelman, his qualifications or credentials for the Hall of Fame at another date and time. But right now, this is Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. And it's very apparent.
Mm.
So you mean to tell... So let me ask you a question. I'm going to switch roles. Tom Brady goes to Green Bay, and Aaron Rodgers goes to New England.
It'd be a disaster. Because there's no way Aaron Rodgers would put up with Bill Belichick. And there is a definite way Tom Brady would change the whole culture from a diva, me first, blame deflecting culture led by Aaron Rodgers to we are one. That's what Tom Brady
would do. Now what we're starting to see.
I would love Tom Brady.
What we're starting to see from your guy, Tom Brady, as his completion percentage starts to dip, he starts to throw in the ball shorter, and his touchdown to interception ratio is ticking up, and he's throwing the ball away. Mm. All the things that you criticize, you said Aaron Rodgers.
Wait, air distance yards, Tom's ahead of Aaron.
I'm just saying, Skip Bayless.
How about big pass plays so far this year? I'm talking about this year. Tom Brady tied for 2nd, Aaron's 12th. Interesting. I think I'm taking Tom Brady.
I just want to know why the guy throwing the ball away all this time. Yeah. I want to know why he's throwing the ball. Is he leading the
Two NFL? Words for you. Gunnar Olszewski.
That's all you need to know.
Don't do that. Well,
don't do that.
Is Aaron throwing to Gunnar Olszewski?
It's going to Valdez.
Who's in the lineup?
Valdez Scantling.
Yeah.
And those guys Jermaine, I think is his name. Mm. He's an undrafted free agent.
Oh, really?
The guy that Aaron went to the head coach and said, I need this guy.
Mm.
Give him to me and I'll make something out of it.
You think Tom Brady would have missed a wide open receiver just standing alone in the flat on the final play against the Eagles?
He missed a Wes Welker in the Super Bowl. Wide open. Yeah. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought it up.
You got me on
Super
that
Bowl.
One. Yeah. Did he miss him?
Missed
I'm talking about failed to see him. Aaron Rodgers didn't even see this.
Yeah.
He threw it to Valdez-Scantling after the Eagles blew the coverage. Did you see the kid from North Dakota State over here? You see him?
You blew a guy.
He's wide open.
The guy was wide open in the Super Bowl.
You lost the game on the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
It wasn't frozen.
I know, but it's the legendary tundra. You lost a home game to the Beagles. To the Beagles. You lost to them.
Beagles.
They're the Beagles now. They've turned into the Beagles.
Well, you're going to find out.
Yeah.
You're going to find
you
out.
You lost that game, and you're telling me you'd take him over Tom Brady?
Yes.
Tom Brady would have thrown it underhand to that
well,
kid.
Well, you should have threw that one to Wes Welker, and then he'd have seven Super Bowls.
Wait a second. Shannon Sharp told me that was a catchable ball. Am I right?
Yeah, if you throw it.
Walker.
Oh,
if
no.
If you throw it right.
No, you said Shannon Sharp would have put that in his back pocket.
Like you told me.
Am I right?
Wes Welker ain't.
Am I right?
All I'm saying, he missed
at least
throw.
He saw him open, and he threw him a pass that was
which makes
bit
it worse, because you saw him and still missed
it. No. This was the worst.
If Aaron had seen him, do you think Aaron Rodgers would have missed him?
You know what? Aaron Rodgers is a myth. He is in decline, and you will not acknowledge.
No, you will not acknowledge it, because you won't even acknowledge who's leading the league in throwaways.
Oh,
when
well
you know it to be true.
Okay, but who cares about that?
Oh, you care. Now you don't care about that. Well, now, all last year,
I know, but I canceled it with all the other stats.
No, you don't. No, you can't cancel
it. Well, I just did.
No, you didn't.
Sorry.
No.
Yeah.
Rodgers, better completion percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown interception ratio.
Mm.
And your guy got more throwaways.
Mm.
Your guy just happened to be on a better team, Skip. That's it. But he's going along for a great ride. Skip, it's kind of like, you know, if you're in a nice car, you're in a Maybach or you're in a Ferrari, nobody really cares what you look like in there. You're
Shannon Sharp.
A great ride. No, they don't.
They might care a little bit. You don't care at all?
Nope.
You have been wrong about Tom Brady three straight years.
He's going along
saying,
for a
this
great
is it,
ride.
This is it.
He's going along.
And he is still playing at a supremely high level with a high degree of difficulty.
He's going along.
Yeah.
Skip, your grandfather said, boy, with a man pointing that knuckle like Tom Brady here, Tom Brady's going along for a great ride, Jenny. Everybody knows it except you.
Yep.
You know it, but you don't want to admit it, because then it was like, oh, my goodness, I had to say what I didn't think I'd have to say. The Tom Brady that I know and love is no more.
Yeah, you know, I want Tom Brady going forward, because do I trust Aaron Rodgers even if they somehow make the playoffs? Because since that one little Super Bowl run that he had almost 10 years ago, he's 5-6 in the postseason. And the five came against Joe Webb of the Vikings, and then ones against Kirk Cousins, and then there was the Dez catch game, and then there was the Giants boat trip victory.
If you gave me 13 top 10 defenses like Tom Brady's had, ain't no telling what I'd have.
I thought he was
that
guy.
You didn't say anything.
In decline. Aaron Rodgers in decline. You got to acknowledge.
Think about this. Do you remember when the Packers played the Cardinals and they gave up 51? Aaron Rodgers threw for 457 and caught an L? Do you remember when Eli Manning went up there and hung 37 on him in his building? Oh, but then you want to talk about that. Oh, so we're not going to mention anything about Tom Brady got a defense that's stout all the time with the exception of one game, and you go back to that.
With the exception of one game, it was 41 by
how
Nick
you
Foles.
Win the Super Bowl in which you throw one? How do you win a play? How do you go undefeated in the playoffs in which you only throw one touchdown pass the entire playoff run? How is that possible when you got an outstanding defense?
Well, that was its first year start.
What they got to do with me?
Yeah.
They got to do with me. That'll help your argument.
Aaron Rodgers' career is overrated in this year.
Don't do this, Skip. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. That's
did you like him Sunday night?
He did not look good.
Did you like Tom Brady?
49ers.
Did you like Tom Brady?
Did you like Aaron Rodgers? Yes, I loved Tom Brady on Sunday night.
He happened to win.
He won the game.
Skip Bayless. All he had to do was not long as he didn't turn the ball over. Because the Cowboys, because it just so happened he was playing somebody that played worse than he did on Sunday.
Yep.
I ain't going to bring his name up, but you know who it is.
You know who's going to the Super Bowl again?
I know who ain't going to the Super Bowl.
It's hard to
I know who ain't. I don't know who is definitively.
Yeah,
but I
know
who
ain't.
Isn't.
Aaron Rodgers.
No, don't do that.
Yeah.
You don't know that to be true.
Well, I do.
No.
Want to bet on that?
I know who won't
I'll
be.
I'll bet you five cases right now Aaron Rodgers doesn't get
to the Super Bowl. I'm about to get my five cases from you on Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Broad James. I told you what was going
to
happen.
Well, I'm up to 43.
You're about to be down to 38.
All right.
How happy are you about that? Like, just try to hold it in.
No mercy.
And Lamar Jackson put on a show in the Coliseum during his Monday Night Football debut as the Ravens dismantled the Rams
45-6. Lamar tied his career high with 5 touchdown passes and also added 95 yards on the ground. And after the game, Lamar downplayed his personal numbers and gave the team some props, saying, quote, "We're clicking on all cylinders right now. It's okay, but we are trying to win the Super Bowl." Well, there you go. We got Super Bowl champ and Fox Sports college football analyst Reggie Bush here with us today. When you think about what Lamar is doing, has he locked up MVP in your eyes?
I wouldn't say he's locked it up, but I think he's distanced himself from Russell Wilson. After what I saw last night, I think much like everybody else, we're trying to find ways to describe it. We're trying to find people to compare him to. Obviously, Michael Vick maybe is one of the most natural comparisons. But even Michael Vick wasn't doing this, right? Even Michael Vick, I've never seen an athlete like Lamar Jackson do what he's doing. And nobody, none of us have, right? Third down conversions, he was, I think it was 100% last night at one point, third down conversions. He can throw the deep ball, he's accurate. But it's also his leadership as well, because you saw, and I saw, I was at the game last night, and I spent some time with Steve Bisciotti last night as well. And the one thing that he talked about was his leadership, but how he motivates the other guys on the other side of the football. So it's not just his offensive players that he's making better around him, right? Mark Ingram's playing well. Willie Snead is balling out. But the defense is getting excited on the sideline when he's making some of these plays. And that's what I saw last night as well. Some of the Rams' best players were getting ran over. You know, this is big boy football. This is smash mouth, old school football.
Well, a couple of times Eric Weddle.
And a couple of times Eric Weddle, Jalen Ramsey, some of these guys missing tackles, getting ran over. And I saw the sidelines going crazy. Sidelines was going nuts. And that's the difference of this football team. It's in a passing league right now, you have to line up and play big boy football, smash mouth football. And not everybody can do that, can handle that for 60 minutes. And that's where I feel like you really separate the men from the boys, right?
Okay, so how long can Lamar survive playing this style of running and passing football?
And so that's the other thing that I thought about last night as I'm watching the game progress. There were some tackles where I felt like, man, if he could only just get down, right, and not take some of those tackles, because the one thing that we do know is it's not a matter of if you get got, it's a matter of when you get got. And there's 100% injury rate in this league, so the only thing that I can see that can stop Lamar Jackson is injuries, and it's himself.
And that's the thing, is that when you watch him last night, and the 50 men in boat, Reggie, that Skip and I talked about earlier, they don't always get an opportunity to watch because they have teams they have to cover
for
themselves.
For the MVP.
For the MVP. And so now they got an opportunity. They're in front of their TVs or computers, and they're watching. And it's like, there's no question about it. This is the MVP right now. You look at what he's done. The back-to-back 4 touchdown games with 50 yards rushing. No other quarterback has ever done that. The 3 perfect QBR, 99. He has the 3 highest graded QBR games in NFL this year. He has 2 perfect quarterback rated games this year. And you just look at him at what he's on, the total that he's on. A quarterback that's on pace to rush for over 1,200 yards while also throwing for over 30 touchdowns. So it just goes to show you, Skip, he's just not a runner of the football. He's a great thrower of the football, and I'm watching him as he's going through his mind and that he's changing arm angles without being second nature, Skip. And you see the progression. Normally, last year, if he broke the line of scrimmage, he was straight ahead. Now he'll break the line of scrimmage and he'll slide left or right looking for someone to throw it to, and then he'll take off if no one's there. You see the evolution of this guy, and I played it. We played it earlier, Reggie. Last year against the Chargers, they booed him and wanted Joe Flacco to enter the game. Now they're yelling MVP. He's getting MVP chance when he goes to the opposing team stadium. So that just lets you know how hard he's worked on his craft and where he is now. And it just goes also, Skip, the greatest hire this year, you know, you talk about, is Greg Roman. John Harbaugh hiring Greg Roman, who's the offensive coordinator, has been done light. And they keep advancing. And Reg, you talk about playing big boy football. Everybody wants to run the football. But when you play the Ravens, you better bag your big boy pants. Wear 2 chin straps and put on all your pads. Because what they're going to do, they're going to smash you in the mouth. And then when you hold in, Skip, they fake the ball in someone's belly. And now he's throwing the ball in these creases. And they're getting big plays. He's, man. I think he's opened up a sizable lead in the MVP race. Now, if he go, if they play San Francisco on Sunday, he put together another game, Skip, like what he did against New England.
Against this,
it's his. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's over.
Yeah. Well, they should just award it on the field.
Yeah, it's over. Hey,
just give it to him right there on the
field. If he plays like he played against New England, or plays like he played last night against San Francisco, it is over.
Yeah. I want to ask my man Reggie about this. Mm. I've been watching, covering, studying pro football for a long time. This young man, he's still a young man, mm-hmm. is revolutionizing not just the quarterback position, but the way the game is being played.
Yeah.
Because you were a great running back. You were more halfback than running back to me.
Yeah.
You were make you miss, open field, speed. You dazzled. You were must-see TV at USC and then going on into New Orleans. And yet, right now, I'm seeing Lamar Jackson become the best running back in pro football. Seriously, you can have Dalvin, who's in a great year, and Zeke, and whoever else you want to throw up in there.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is running stronger, running faster, shiftier, more powerfully than this man is running.
I would agree.
So now you took that, and you took a kid who was a pretty pathetic thrower of the football last year through through the Chargers' loss to, I don't know if it's Greg Roman. I don't know. He talked to ESPN last night about the football was bigger than it was in college, and he just he couldn't even throw a spiral last year. But he reinvented his throwing delivery. He is flicking missiles now.
Yeah.
They are deadly accurate missiles, and he is in complete command of the offense. He's smart. He's perceptive. He's poised. And he is playing the quarterback position. He's throwing as deadly accurately as Drew Brees or anybody else you want to throw up in there.
Yep.
So the combination of best running back and deadliest thrower, I've never seen anything like this before.
Well, I think one of the words that you used was reinvented, right? He reinvented himself this offseason. And that's the one thing that a lot of guys don't do, right? Like you get the money and you just stay the same. But every year there is film on you. Every year guys are getting smarter, faster, stronger, and they're learning your tendencies.
Wow.
Right now, you can't learn Lamar Jackson's tendencies because he's doing so many different things, right? And to me, one of the most impressive throws that I saw last night was to end the second half, they ran cover zero blitz. And he threw the the slant route over the middle for a touchdown.
He did.
Now, for fans back home, cover zero blitz is the same blitz the Patriots ran against Jared Goff in the Super Bowl.
They did.
And ended up in an interception and lost him that game.
Yep.
And so now his IQ is there, right? His football IQ was there.
I agree.
And he's athletic, right? He's aggressive when he's attacking, running down the field. And I agree with you. You're right. This is must-see TV. And for me, this is the only person I want to watch now. On Sundays, I want to see what Lamar Jackson is doing. I'm checking my phones.
Yeah.
Or I'm checking social media. I want to know what stats he's putting up, what crazy move he's made. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing that I think that now people are starting to witness, and you want more of it, right?
Yep.
You feel like you didn't get enough.
You mentioned about guys, the evolution of the game and how they evolve. And that's what the great ones do. Tom Brady's not the same quarterback in year five as he is now.
Yep.
He realized, Peyton Manning, all the greats, they realize they're getting tendencies. So what do I do? How do I reinvent myself to come back a new, improved version of myself? And I said, I believe this. As he becomes more, get even more comfortable, becomes even more proficient at throwing the football, they will call less of these diagram runs.
Yeah.
Now, they're never going to say, hey, if you get in harm's way, don't worry about it, just throw the ball from the pocket because his legs are too valuable. That's what makes him so dangerous because, Skip, the field is so spread because we got to, because he get a crease, he's unlike any quarterback that we've seen since Michael Vick. No quarterback has this kind of speed. So he gets a crease, so it's spread, the field is spread. Now you get Andrews, you get Hollywood Brown and Snead running the crease route. They're wide open because we're worried about him jumping out the window and being gone on us. But Skip, he's special.
So I want to drive home this point on degree of difficulty. This is last night. This was Wade Phillips' defense featuring Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They recently, the Rams, gave two firsts and a fourth to get Jalen Ramsey. He will soon be the highest paid corner in pro football. Aaron Donald is hands down the best defensive player. You think he's the best player player in all of football. So not only did Lamar Jackson take the ball six straight times and go score six straight touchdowns, including seven of seven third down conversions, He converted every time in the red zone, because the overall stats aren't sensational. He threw for 189 yards. He threw 5 touchdown passes,
right.
Where my quarterback, Dak Prescott, cannot get the ball in the end zone, mm-hmm. in the red zone, because it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
My guy's just having a hard time. But yeah. The point is, to be able to pick a defense apart and throw 5 scoring passes in the red zone.
And he only have Amari.
Okay.
Just imagine if he had Amari.
Well, who? We didn't have Amari on.
So yeah, you did. He was out there.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't see him.
Where'd you go? Just had him on the wraps.
Did he? Yeah, I think he put him in his back pocket.
Yeah,
Ogale
Mo.
He made some of the Rams' best players disappear last night. I ain't hear from Ty Gurley, Jared Goff, my boy Woods, like. Aaron Donald, we didn't hear from none of them.
Nobody.
They only had a handful of possessions, right. If you run the ball for almost 300, you're not getting a whole lot of cracks, and it puts a lot of pressure on your offense because you know you're not getting many possessions. Yeah.
He destroyed and toyed with the Los Angeles Rams here in the college.
Seeing it in person had to be
fun. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. No mercy. Well, you may recognize our next guest from Key & Peele. Playing with Fire and Dolemite is my name. One of the funniest people working in Hollywood, the one and only Keegan-Michael Key. Thank you so much for being here.
Pleasure and honor to have you here.
Yes, it is a pleasure and honor to be here. Yes.
We've been looking forward to it.
So, born and raised in Detroit.
Born and raised, yes.
I hate to put you through this as a long-suffering Lion fan, but we need to get this out of the way.
Let's get this out of the way, yeah.
Because your quarterback, Matt Stafford, hurt at the moment but still wants to play the rest of the year, continues to put up top 10, maybe even top 5 stats.
Yeah.
And you have had to live with him for a long, long time because he puts up those numbers, except that one column at the end over there that says wins and losses. Yeah. It never seems to equate to his overall stats.
This has been another sneaky year where the numbers were looking really, really good. And he also, the one thing that we have to look forward to, I can think of right now, is that we've got him and Marvin Jones Jr. and Kenny Golladay going through the next season. So I have that to look forward to.
Okay.
That doesn't translate to wins.
No, it
necessarily.
Does not.
I am a little disillusioned. I was extremely excited, as a lot of people were, when Matt Patricia came. And now what's happening is the defense seems especially porous, as opposed to, I was looking for these really exotic schemes to be working to our advantage, and then now the issue, and God bless Jeff Driskel. I mean, I think he's hanging in there as best he can.
He tries hard.
He's trying really hard.
Yeah.
But it's something, when I talk to friends at home and family, our issue always, it feels like it has been since Barry Sanders was on the field. I just spoke about a porous defense. Our issue is a porous offensive line.
Mm.
And I was really happy about the Ragnow pick at center a while back. He's a very mobile guy, but I don't know what the issue is. I really do. I'm mystified by it. I'm mystified.
Are you ready to part ways with Matthew Stafford and start a new era?
I am not.
Okay.
I am not. I think it's shoring up issues in other parts of the team. I can't speak as much to the coaching personnel. I wish I could, but I don't have that expertise as much. I don't understand the way you would, Shannon, all the nuances of X's and O's here and there. I understand what a pulling guard does, but I don't understand where and how one changes a culture. And we've seen this Belichick thing happen so many times, where someone leaves and then you end up with an average or a subpar team. So I love Mrs. Ford. We have a relationship. Matt's been wonderful. And I think that Mr. Quinn has done a really good job. But it's not gelling the way I was expecting it to.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Boy. So let's talk about my team, the Dallas Cowboys. Do you see contenders or pretenders so far? 6-5. Can't get over the hump.
Can't get over the hump.
Yep.
I think it's welcome to pretender land population.
Told you.
I really do. It feels shaky. They look shaky. And it's interesting because I think they should be, if ever there was a ball control team this season, they should be it. That I feel like when I watch them and I'm seeing Zeke, it feels like we should just be able to eat up clock and eat up clock and eat up clock. And it's not working the way I thought it would. What do you attribute that to?
We don't
Shannon's
have
like, enough. Over here. What was that, Shannon?
My
QB.
My quarterback is putting up big numbers, but he's not making the play at the moment.
At the moment.
The game. I will give you that. But I'm now going to switch gears because I did a little bit with you when you came out about code switching.
Yes.
My quarterback, Dak Prescott, is biracial. We've seen a whole lot of athletes come along in recent years biracial. Mm-hmm. Lots of stars, Derek Jeter, Jason Kidd, we can go on and on.
Russell Wilson, yeah.
And here we are with you being biracial.
Mm-hmm.
My quarterback is the leader of and the spokesman for America's team. Help me out. Try to identify with him as he handles media and teammates. How do you think it puts him in different positions through the day to be this and then be that?
Oh, yeah. No, I think that there's that you have to be a maestro at code switching.
Mm-hmm.
It both there certainly is a cultural aspect because there may be a certain way to act in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And there may be a certain way to act in the locker room at different times.
That is correct.
There's a way you present yourself mm-hmm. when the media is present. There's a way you should present yourself, my understanding is, when it's just the boys.
Right.
And then a way to present yourself as a leader and a liaison between the coaching staff and the boys.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon the pun, the boys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But so yes, I think that he is, sometimes you forget, or I shouldn't say you, sometimes I forget, and you'll get frustrated, and then you have to remember that these are young men.
Mm-hmm.
They're in their 20s. Some of these guys are in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny when we speak about a veteran is a person who is 7 to 8 years younger than me.
Right, sure.
A 40-year-old person is mm-hmm. 8 years younger than me. And so I think you're right. It's gonna take some seasoning still for him to mm-hmm. be that guy. Am I gonna be able to be stalwart and almost mm-hmm. stoic in front of the camera? Am I gonna be able to be a fire plug in front of my players?
Mm-hmm.
And also, let's get even more granular. How am I speaking to the guys on my O-line? How am I talking to the backup quarterback? Is it my job already to still try to coach him up?
Mm-hmm.
Then do I walk across the locker room and speak to the defensive guys?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And how do I get them fired up?
Mm-hmm.
So because it's his job, and it is the QB's job, to make a cohesive mm-hmm. Unit,
yep.
One huge unit that are just called the Cowboys.
Mm.
And it's not that he's lacking, it's just a matter of taking the time and allowing yourself to have that growth.
Mm-hmm.
Be where you are now,
right,
and allow yourself to have that growth.
So in your career, did it give you an advantage to be biracial? Could you sort of go?
Yeah, it does give you an advantage. I think what happens is you get to become a phrase that my partner Jordan Peele coined was, you get to be a racial referee. So at the end of the day, you've got your white family over here and your black family over here and how you're responding and the way that you pronounce words.
Do you really talk, do you, because people have always asked, do you really talk different to different sets of family?
I do. And I felt like, I it's funny, my wife who's white, my wife will walk down the street and she just goes, it's amazing, I see it. And my favorite thing is when I see an older African American gentleman who must be a fan, someone who was alive when Dick Gregory was a comedian.
Okay. Yep.
And
yeah.
He goes, "Hey man, I see y'all. I see what y'all doing. All right, man, keep it up now." And then certain people I'm with will be like, "Do you know him?" I said, right. I know him here. There is sometimes what you're doing is you're putting other people at comfort. You're trying to put other people, you want to mm-hmm. understand that you know where they're coming from.
Right.
And there is a linguistic component to that. People go, "Oh, you speak the way the people in my neighborhood speak.
Right.
I feel like you understand me." And I think that if you can do that, I try to do that on any show I am, is try to relate to members of the crew. Because if you let them know that they're important, and then they let you know that you're important, mm. then everybody's there. It's like, mm-hmm. I've got your back.
Mm.
And I think that works. Sometimes you speak differently and it's helpful.
Mm.
It's really, really helpful.
You brought up your partner, Jordan Peele. I know you guys have risen in your own ways into your levels of achievement. I think you're both genius, but quick thought on what he has done in his own creative way.
Oh, yeah.
Get Out and Us and Keanu that you both start in, but how amazed are you at what he is doing?
It's interesting. I'm actually not that amazed. He has been, I've known him for 15, 16 years. And what's interesting is he's been a horror connoisseur since he was a child.
Huh.
And it's fascinating. His grandmother took him to a movie when he was a young man. His grandmother took me to see The Garbage Pail Kids.
Mm.
And they left the movie theater in Manhattan. He grew up in New York City. And his grandmother goes, "Now that was an awful movie. And I'm going to explain to you why." She wanted him to understand why the movie was bad. And I think having that sense of understanding how, that you can critique something and you're allowed to critique something. And she was teaching him that there's a standard, a standard of filmmaking, even as a child. And that's something that stuck with him. I've heard him say it often in interviews. And the different types of horror comedy, he also feels the comedy and horror are very similar. It's based on the element of surprise, that you were expecting everything to go this way, and then it's football, right? Right. Gonna do the draw. Everything's going that way.
Kind of like the Cowboys. You expected them to be good every time.
That was too easy.
I saw what you did.
I didn't see him doing that.
He was on a roll and you completely derailed where he was heading.
I saw what he did.
He co-opted the Joker.
We find a way on the show.
You code switched on
me. I'm so proud of him. And the fact that he's not he's making something important. It's interesting for him to do something in that genre. It's not making horror. It's making social horror.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which is a small, tiny genre.
Yes.
You don't see that often.
Yes, yes.
People Under the Stairs and maybe A Night of the Living Dead are the only two movies I can think of that where a filmmaker had purposed to make a social comment using that genre. Mm. And I really, if I may... all respect to George Romero. Mm-hmm. I don't know that anybody's done it better. Maybe as good, but no one's done it better
totally
than Jordan.
Agree.
He's the upper echelon of that.
Because
genre.
Get Out was not only chilling, but it was a strong social commentary as you could.
A beautiful piece of satire.
So interesting to think about that dynamic. You are one of the busiest guys in Hollywood. So I hope you can stick around for a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. One more segment. We have a lot more to get to.
Yes, we do.
I got to keep setting up, sure.
Keegan-Michael Key back with us. You can catch Keegan hosting Brain Games on Nat Geo this winter. So tell us quickly about that.
So Brain Games is a television show that is all about how the brain works and why it works the way it does in any given situation. And we have episodes that are thematic. So an episode there's an episode called Battle of the Sexes and an episode about performance. And in that episode, actually, we have Drew Brees. Drew Brees is our guest, and it's about reaction time, performance, tracking one, two or three things at the same time, and how the human brain does it, and how the athlete's mind is different than other minds genetically.
Oh, that's interesting.
Episodes on love and attraction. So it's really, I love, it's weird, when I'm by myself and I have time to read, I typically find myself reading books, often reading books about Formula One racing and neurobiology. So it was a really perfect fit for me, and I enjoy it so much. It's a fascinating show.
That's cool.
And a great show to watch with your kids.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. Also, we have some video of you.
We have video?
Yeah, in full Rams gear. Now, I'm not exactly sure what's happening here, but I would like you to walk us through.
Okay, all right.
Because you look like a natural.
Yeah, we were shooting a package for another show I was doing. Look at this. Oh. I one-stepped it. I just took one step. And it's a package we're shooting for a show I'm doing for CBS, and we're doing these really fun field pieces. And here's the thing. I've been watching field goal kickers do this my entire life. Right. So everyone's like, how did you get the form? I'm like, that's just repetition. I've been watching guys do that.
But wait, you head-oned it. I didn't soccer it.
I toed it.
And you nailed it?
And my leg still hurts because it requires muscles
I didn't know
I had. It is so difficult. You just got to get under the ball and get lift. If you get lift, you've got a chance to get it to go. Now, you notice I pulled it a little bit.
Yeah.
I pulled it a little bit,
but
I got it through. But it went through.
Yeah.
It went through. And that's right there, Steven Jackson, Orlando Pace, and Torrey Holt. That's who taught me how to field goal kick.
And this was first time? This was the one-shot deal?
It was a one-shot deal.
Woo.
And when we got to the stadium, there was nobody there.
Right.
I'm like, oh, I'm good. I just practiced. Yeah. I'm still feeling kinesthetic about this. And then by the time we got, I was like, guys, are we going? And by the time we walked out there, you start waving, like, 35 people out here. Right. People are just trickling in. Right. But it was...
Well done.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
It was absolutely. I tried to soccer kick him in practice. I mean, don't get fancy.
Yeah. No.
Just get your foot on the bottom of that ball. Lift that thing up.
Speaking of that stadium, last night there was this young man named Lamar Jackson.
Who's this young man?
We have dedicated pretty much this whole show to talking about how he has revolutionized pro football. Your quick take on him.
I think he is a phenom. I will say this. One of my favorite things about football is now in the next two seasons, we get to watch defenses adapt to a mobile quarterback. Through my life as a football fan, my favorite thing is watching defenses and defensive coordinators adapt to a mobile quarterback. Fran Tarkenton, Donovan McNabb, Michael Vick, and somebody said, yesterday or Saturday, someone said, don't compare Lamar Jackson to anybody but himself. Let him be who he is. And I can't remember who said it, but I think that is apt and wise knowledge for us to put forward, because I feel that he has both skill sets, and I think as he gets older and comes into his role, he's going to become more dangerous. But that's the thing, is I love the chess game, because I love that the chess game doesn't stop when football season ends. It's just trying to figure out what's the wrinkle here, or how do we chip that guard, or is there a way to seal him in, or if he runs, what do the safeties do? And it'll take 2 or 3 seasons, and then someone will figure it out, and then it gets really interesting. But he is a phenom. I think he is the real deal, and I don't have a prediction as to what they'll do in the playoffs, but my feeling is them going deep into the playoffs is, all right, I'll say it, I think it's a foregone conclusion. I really do. That? And also that they will go deep. That they will go. I would not be surprised. I understand that the Patriots are 10-1. I get it. But I'm not surprised. I would not be surprised if they were in the AFC Championship game. I also
probably be at Tom Brady's
house. At Tom Brady's house, yeah. Also, I love this. I love all this with Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram did a my producing partner and I made a thing for the Pro Bowl. And I made a thing for the Pro Bowl a couple years ago. And Mark Ingram is a very good actor. Really? I just want to say that. Yeah, he's dynamic, but he also knows when to be subtle. I mean, the guy's, he has a career after football in front of the camera, Mark Ingram.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So, speaking of Tom Brady.
what are you doing over there?
Yeah, we haven't heard from Shannon Sharp here lately.
Shannon's been so sweet.
Yeah, there's this
John, talk.
A guy named Tom Brady who's 42 years of age, and his team is 10-1. Shannon gives the defense all the credit for that. Are you surprised at the level at which he continues to play?
I am mildly surprised. I would like to jump in the backseat of Shannon's defense car. I think they are the ones. I mean, I really do, Skip. It's been interesting seeing. We're not used to seeing the Patriots win a game and have the final scoreboard be like a 1-7, 17, 24.
13.
Or win a game with the quarterback doesn't throw a touchdown pass, but the receiver does. But that's none of my business. I don't even know why I brought that up, Keith. Go ahead. I'm out of turn. I'm out of place for talking.
It is, I think that we're actually seeing a man under center in New England who's a human being. I do. I mean, eventually, it's wear and tear. I mean, what are you going to do eventually? But also, he's lost some key components in his receiving core.
Like all of them?
Like
except Edelman?
Except for Julian. It's funny. It's almost like Julian is to Tom what Michael Thomas is to Drew. And I understand. I think that he still has, I think he still certainly has gas in the tank, but they got to help him. They got to help him. You're right. The defense is
key. He's on fumes. He's riding on fumes.
I agree.
The light on. The light on. Now, you can wait. You can pull to the gas station, Skip, which is the end of this year, or you can keep trying to ride.
It's going
to be outside the road at some point next year.
So are you now predicting this is the end of the line for Tom Brady?
In New England. I've said that before.
Okay. Well, why wouldn't it be the end of the line, period?
Because somebody else think they got something. Because you can fool somebody else. Because remember, Skip, Andy thought it was the end of the line for Peyton. But he went and other teams wanted him.
Fair.
Somebody else will think he still have something in the tank. But Coach Belichick says, nah, we fool.
Okay, but wait a second.
No vacancies here for you.
Denver said, yeah, Peyton will take you. And what happened?
And Coach Belichick.
MVP happened.
But Coach Belichick says, okay, somebody else can take that on. I'm going to build this bridge out for the foreseeable future. I got another year, and then I get stuck. I'm supposed to have Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm supposed to have 15 years of Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what he's supposed to have.
You really want that?
Yes. He want it.
Okay, what do you keep telling me is the one fatal flaw for the San Francisco 49ers? Jimmy Garoppolo.
But he wouldn't be that in Coach Belichick.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep.
So, Shannon, if Garoppolo was supposed to be there.
Yep.
That's 100% true.
Yeah.
Since he is not, how long does Belichick stay in New England?
Belichick, both guys are trying to wait the other guy out. I want to get the credit for this success.
Yep. Mm.
And so now we're going to find out. Coach Belichick, I'm going to coach now. I said I wasn't going to coach until I'm 70. But now I feel reinvigorated. I'm going to coach that.
Extended.
Now you hear Tom talking about, I'm going to play until I'm 47. See, the other guy's trying to wait.
Okay,
because if I can win one without you, I'm going to get the lion's share of the credit for this team's success.
Which, of course, would motivate Tom Brady if he went anywhere. I mean, he'll always be a Lion. He'll always be a competitor. I tell you what, if what you're saying is true, and I believe it is, because it's so funny, I haven't thought of it that way, that they're waiting each other. It's just a game of chicken. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if someone traded Tom Brady to the Jets? He'd take the Jets to the playoffs.
Mm.
He'd take the Jets to the playoffs.
I would like to see a trade of Tom Brady to the 49ers and Jimmy G back to Belichick. And then let's tee it up and see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Why not?
Why would I give up 1 year for 12?
Huh? Well, hey, one Super Bowl for whatever.
You can only get 3 or 4. Ain't no guarantee.
Huh?
You got 43-year-olds.
With the 49ers, Tom might win 3 straight Super Bowls.
No, he won't.
Yep.
He ain't playing 3 more years. This is it.
Without him.
They're doing pretty good.
Without Tom.
Again, another defense.
Exactly.
Let's switch gears to college football. Again, you grew up a University of Michigan fan in Detroit, but you attended Penn State University.
Yes.
Quick thought on
ambivalence here.
Yeah. Ohio State just took care of your team barely. Your backup quarterback, he put some plays on, man.
Yeah.
But now we got Ohio State at Michigan. Got feeling on that game?
I feel I don't see anybody stopping Ohio State this year until they get to the playoff. Talk about the consistency. Talk about a college program that's doing what Belichick is talking about. Mm-hmm. They just keep lining everybody up. I don't understand how they do the recruiting they do.
Kind of like Alabama?
Incredible. Mm.
Yeah, was it?
Kind of like Alabama.
We're not out of it. We know the Alabama Invitation is coming up pretty soon.
Oh, really?
Right? College football playoff. That's what you call it, Alabama.
How did you do it that last year?
We go every year. We can't win it every year. They're going to cut it out.
You keep losing.
How you going to win your own tournament? You can't keep starting all your own movie. People going to start watching. I already know how you going to do it. I'll let somebody else
do it. I want you to star in your own movie.
We will this year.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm afraid the Ohio State looks pretty invincible.
Ohio State looks good. Well, LSU looks good.
Yeah.
Don't count Clemson out.
The other thing is, look, they're going to win the Big Ten. I mean, who are they even going to play in the West?
Either it could be Minnesota or Wisconsin based on this weekend.
Wisconsin want no more parts of it.
And, you know, we saw what – yeah. It's a hard one, regardless.
They're going to come out on top. I'll tell you, my feeling right now is the Big Ten championship game is going to be a blowout. And then the Big Ten championship game is going to be a blowout. Then my fear, this is what I always get – because then what happens is – and anybody watching from Michigan, you forgive me. But when we get into bowl season, then I become a Big Ten guy. Mm-hmm. I want a good Big Ten record at the end of the bowl season.
Sure.
Right. Okay, right? So I will I'll root for Ohio State. Mm. And I get nervous in the playoff because who did they lose to a few years back?
They lost to Clemson, didn't they?
It was Clemson.
Oh, yeah.
Right, it was Clemson. Ago? I'm getting nervous. Mm. I don't want that to happen again. Because it's that weird SEC Big Ten thing.
Yeah, you know we do. Yeah, in fact, you're not.
You act like you.
Alabama, LSU, Georgia loaded. Florida.
Just me. I'd like to see Jim Harbaugh rise up and win one for once this Saturday.
Yeah.
It would be
great
to see. Exactly.
It would be epic.
Just
so you guys know, snow in the forecast for me on that one Saturday.
It'll be like 20 degrees.
This is going to be
flurries all over the place.
Big Ten.
Yeah. Ohio State lose, boy, the college football player of the beat.
All right, Keegan, I wish we could keep you all day.
So do I.
I'd
love
to be here.
So good
to have you. Really appreciate everything.
On everything.
Yeah, you are a busy guy, so enjoy your holidays. So the Ravens had a big statement win with their 45-6 victory over the Rams last night. But the 49ers also cemented their status as one of the best teams in the NFL by throttling the Packers on Sunday. And this weekend on Fox, these two teams will meet in what could be, how about a little Super Bowl preview? So Shannon, which of these teams has a better chance to make a playoff run, a deep playoff run, Ravens or 49ers?
Skip, I'm going to take the Ravens, and I'm going to tell you why. When I look at the playoff, the first thing I go to is I look at the quarterback. And I believe I trust, currently right now, I trust Lamar more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy has 14 turnovers, which is fifth most in the NFL. And you know you turn the ball in the playoffs, you pay double. Mm. And there have been games this year, they've won, but he hadn't played well because he's turned the ball over.
Yep.
And that's what happened against the Russell Wilson, I mean, when they lost to Seattle. Turn the ball over. You can't put the ball in harm's way. And him having to go probably, having to go through Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, I just think the road would be tougher for the 49ers. And I trust Lamar Jackson currently because he's playing unbelievable. Now, and both teams look like they're on a magic carpet ride, Skip. But I just, in a situation like this, I'm going to trust Lamar Jackson a little more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. So I think their style will travel because they can run it. They can run it. And everybody says, well, okay, we're going to stop your run. Okay, well, good luck with that. When you run the ball for 210 yards a game, no, that's not an accident. That's a commitment to that. That's a physical style of football, and he throws it well enough. And he's getting better at throwing the football. So I would trust the Ravens more than I trust the 49ers.
So I do agree with this. These are the two late November, out of nowhere buzzsaw teams. They have both caught fire, and they both eye test like two potential Super Bowl teams of this moment. If I had to say...
Rematch? Well, might be a rematch.
Could be. But then I look at the schedule. And if you told me that the San Francisco 49ers were going to have two home playoff games to get to the Super Bowl, I'd give them a real good shot because they are really, really good at home.
Right.
I would trust Jimmy G at home much more than I would on the road. But speaking of road, they now have to go to Baltimore. Then they have to go to Drew Brees. And they end up at Russell Wilson.
Who's already beat him.
I know, he already beat him. So, to me, and that was the overtime game at San Francisco on, was it Thursday night, I think it was? So, the point is...
Monday night.
Well, I can't remember which one it was. But the point was that I'm seeing them lose three road games down the stretch.
Wow.
Okay? So, if they lose three, all of a sudden, I don't know. It looks like either New Orleans or Seattle could rise up and have home field advantage for the NFC Championship
You definitely don't want New Orleans to have home field advantage. And Seattle, the 12th man is unbelievable.
Yeah.
But to try to beat them 2 years in a row in that dome, I don't believe they lose 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I don't either. Which brings me back to Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he has revolutionized the quarterback position. He is starting to run away with MVP, and their team has the look of invincible to me. It has all the right ingredients to run to the Super Bowl, but it still looks to me like New England's going to win out.
Yes.
Okay? It got at Texans, then you got your man Mahomes going not homes but road, right?
Yep.
Your road boy is going to be at New England. I think New England will win those games, and then they have three gimmies to end up the year.
Right.
So if they win out and keep the one game advantage, that would mean the AFC Championship game would be in Foxborough.
Yep.
It's just me right here, right now, and I know I'm still hanging in because I'm a Brady fan, but I just can't see Lamar pulling it off again against New England in Tom's house. I just can't see it. Are they equipped to do it? You better believe they are. Would they go in with great confidence? You know they would.
Yep.
Do the Ravens have a legacy, a history, a tradition of winning in Foxborough in the postseason? They do.
They do.
It's not this team, but it is the history of, right?
And Skip, you know, everybody talks about the 49ers defense, and it's been exemplary this year. But the Ravens, they're fifth in scoring.
Yep.
They're better than you think. And, you know, they line up those first rounders. Marcus Peters was a first-round draft pick. Marlon Humphrey was a first-round draft pick. Jimmy Smith was a first-round draft pick. Earl Thomas was the first-round draft pick. So they're loading the back end, and they get after the quarterback better than what you would think. Like I said, they don't have the Suggs. Mm-hmm. They don't have the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed's. They don't have that type of
big name.
They
don't even have C.J. Mosley anymore.
But
yep.
Those guys play hard.
They play hard, and they play physically on both sides of the ball.
Yep.
So it would be a tough matchup for Tom Brady at home. I just think if you give him a revenge chip on his shoulder, I think he would get even with Lamar in that game.
Yeah, I just trust Lamar. All that being said, I trust Lamar more than I trust Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll buy that.
At this point, okay.
No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at the same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.